From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. In southern Afghanistan, NATO troops are slowly clearing streets of homemade bombs and mines in the second day of a major offensive in the town of Marja. U.S. Marines are spearheading the effort to take control of the last big Taliban stronghold in Helmand Province. They're finding IEDs buried underground, on the streets, and hidden in walls. NPR's Soraya Sahadi Nelson is with the 3rd Battalion, 6th Marine Regiment, and reports pockets of militants have dug in and are shooting.
General Larry Nicholson, the head of the Marine operations here in the southern part of Afghanistan, he had come for a quick visit and
in trying to counter this threat, told me they had started receiving tip-offs from local residents about where the bombs were hidden. Many of those residents are believed to be cautious about welcoming government forces for fear they will soon depart again. Today, tribal councils, known as shuras, are being held in both districts with the aim of persuading the population to back their government and not the Taliban.
The BBC's Frank Gardner reporting from Kandahar. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets of Beirut today to mark the five-year anniversary of the assassination of Lebanon's former Prime Minister, Rafik Hariri. Don Duncan has more from the Lebanese capital.
Hariri's murder 5 years ago led to massive public demonstrations that brought about the withdrawal of Syria from Lebanon after 29 years of occupation. Today's rally is an affirmation of Lebanon's sovereignty and a protest to lingering Syrian influence. Many Hariri supporters point the finger at Syria for having a hand in his assassination, although a UN special tribunal on the matter has yet to name the killers. Hariri's death spawned a political division dominated by a pro-Western alliance called March 14 and a Syrian-backed opposition led by Hezbollah. But Syria has begun to improve diplomatic relations with Lebanon and the US, and this is causing the gulf between Lebanon's opposing alliances to narrow. If this trend continues, the pro-Western alliance could further weaken, spelling trouble for Western interests in Lebanon. For NPR News, I'm Don Duncan in Beirut.
Vice President Joe Biden and former Vice President Dick Cheney are engaged in a war of words over the Obama administration's handling of terrorists. Speaking on ABC today, Cheney accused the administration of being slow to recognize the U.S. is at war with terrorists.
There are key members in the administration, like Eric Holder, for example, the Attorney General, who still insist on thinking of terror attacks against the United States as criminal acts as opposed to acts of war.
But Vice President Biden said his predecessor isn't paying attention.
I don't think the former Vice President Dick Cheney listens. The President of the United States said in the State of the Union, we're at war with Al-Qaeda. He said this, and by the way, we're pursuing that war with a vigor like it's never been seen before. We've eliminated 12 of their top 20 people.
Biden spoke on NBC. This is NPR. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says evidence is mounting that Iran is pursuing a nuclear weapon. Speaking at the U.S. Islamic World Forum in Doha, Qatar, Clinton urged Persian Gulf states to take a tougher stand against Iran. The newest addition to the International Space Station now has plumbing and power thanks to spacewalking astronauts, but an ammonia leak during the hookup forced them to end the spacewalk early as a precaution. Last night, NASA resolved a problem with a critical insulation cover. The new module, called Tranquility, provides living space for the station's crew. Best-selling British crime writer and former jockey Dick Francis has died. Horse racing was a backdrop in his more than 40 novels. The 89-year-old was the only three-time recipient of the Mystery Writers of America's Award for Best Novel. From London, Larry Miller has this look at the writer's career.
Dick Francis retired as a jockey after riding a horse owned by Britain's Queen Mother in the 1956 Grand National Steeplechase.
Dick Francis is pushing Devonlock ahead inch by inch.
Francis sold more than 80 million copies of his horse racing novels, stories populated by murder, gambling, and race fixing.
Racing isn't nearly as bad as what happens in my novels.
The Queen Mother became one of his biggest fans, and that actually shaped what he wrote.
I used to send her a new book as soon as it was out, and I didn't want her reading these seamy sex scenes.
Francis readily admitted he co-wrote the books with his wife Mary, who died a few years ago. Since then, he wrote jointly with his son Felix. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.